Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guest, who is with us this morning, again, from her office in Bloomfield at Bloomfield Schools. Dr. Kim Mizell is here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning, and appreciate your time, because I know things are changing, and for parents and teachers and staff at Bloomfield Schools, not to mention students, you kind of got to pay attention these days to find out what to plan for when school begins next month, right?
Yes, it's very challenging time with changing goals and objectives daily.
Right. And so I know that you and your staff have been working on kind of these contingency plans on how to reopen your schools safely and how to try to meet the needs of your parents and your teachers and your students. And you reached out to them and tried to get some feedback. And so after the governor's announcement last week, how do things look for Bloomfield Schools? Obviously, she said no face-to-face classes until at least after Labor Day, right?
Right. We are in the process. We tried to do a survey, but we just didn't get enough of a result to gauge and find out what the plans are for families and their students. So we're personally calling them this week, and as those calls happen, we're logging all the information, and we'll have a better understanding of who's planning on, once we can go into a brick and mortar scenario, who's planning on returning to school and how many people want to just continue with our online program. And so our district worked real hard this summer to put together at least the first quarter online instructional tool for all teachers and students, which is quite engaging and interactive. We wanted to improve on what we had done in the spring, so we're very hopeful. Our district has made plans. We went ahead and purchased a lot of computers, so we will be going one-to-one for 4th through 12th grade. So every child in Bloomfield in the grades 4th through 12th grade will get a computer, and with the data that we select, that we've collected, we'll be looking at those younger students that just have absolutely no connectivity. And then we'll try to facilitate from that point what they might need. We will continue with packets at the farmer's market like we did in the spring if parents would like to go get them and work with their children during the week. But with this all happening, we had the foresight to start planning, and we put together a very comprehensive plan that's very fluid. And so we have plan A through G almost at this point, because we know that we may move in and out of being in the red, yellow, or green at any given time with the way things are going with cases in the state. And so we're prepared. We purchased all the disinfectant materials and masks and face shields for all employees and students. We will be giving those out once they do return. And we're planning on starting school August 17th. And it will be definitely remote learning for the first 3 weeks of school. But once they come, and it's a little iffy whether we will be able to do the hybrid model upon the return in after Labor Day. So we're just kind of anticipating to be on hold, but we're ready to do what we need to do, and we're prepared, and we have everything ready to go.
All right, Dr. Mizell, and I would say that probably your intent is to be able to offer face-to-face learning just as soon as you are able to do it safely, to do it following the governor's public health orders and all the other things that are going on, but that's still your intent for Bloomfield Schools?
Yes, it is. We've been working real hard to make sure that we spent 2 days with our principals preparing them for the hybrid scenario, and then we got the announcement we're not doing it. So we have a little more time, and sometimes that's pretty valuable as far as making sure that everything's ready to go. You know, I know a lot of districts didn't have everything they needed, and so they conducted a survey, and I almost think it was like 3/4 of the districts really didn't have either their disinfectant or their devices or everything they needed to move forward. So some of them are delaying almost into September 15th or 14th around there. This is quite challenging. Once we had ordered our stuff the 1st of April, and it was on back order until the second week of July, and we actually got our computers in that week. So we were able to move forward in Bloomfield because we had what we needed to start. But a lot of districts are not in that position. So there's a lot of challenges with everything that we're trying to do in the school districts.
Right. But you were saying now that you've made a big investment for Bloomfield and for your students in getting computers out to your students, and every student is going to have a computer from grade 4 and up. Is that the number?
Yes.
And so that should, I guess, maybe try to even the playing field just a little bit, right, with this perhaps online model as we start the school year. But, of course, then as kids maybe go back into face-to-face learning, they'll still have that computer to use during the school year. Is that the plan?
Yes, because in the hybrid, you know, 2 days will be direct instruction, and then the rest of the 3 days of the week will be online.
Right.
So they need to have the capability to do the online learning and do the activities. We have a lot of software that we utilize that they can engage in. And then we also want to continue with our after-school intervention, which will be online. So we'll be working towards getting that set up where, especially in English language arts, the students will have some students that need extra help will have the opportunity to get one-on-one tutoring or small group tutoring in a Google Classroom setting. So we know that we're going to have children that, you know, maybe they didn't actually weren't able to accomplish what we wanted them to do in the spring, and the summer regression is a big concern. So we're putting some things in place to support them a little better. And then we also will continue with the K-5 Plus program next year, which will be helpful for elementary students that need a little extra time to catch up. So there's going to be opportunity. We want to really support our students and help them do well and get caught up. I know that we're going to have some that are just, you know, really struggling, and that's always a concern. But we're going to get in touch with them, and we're going to make sure that they're supported. There'll be office hours on Wednesdays during the week for all students. You know, if they have any problems with the lessons, they can contact their teacher and she can walk them through it. So we're ensuring that monitoring and support is happening within the process. For example, attendance is a big concern. Students need to engage and be part of the process, and they need to turn in their homework and do everything to get credit for attendance. And so the teachers are going to have to monitor that as well. So we're putting systems in place to have that happen. And I just want to encourage all the families and students to really jump in on August 17th and push forward. And we're here to support them through the process.
Right. And talk to me a little bit about the differences in this online learning that will be happening, at least for the first part in the fall and for part of the fall semester, of course, how different it is maybe from what students maybe encountered in the spring, which was a lot faster transition from face-to-face to online. Basically, you had maybe a little over a week over spring break to get things ready to go. I would imagine your teachers, your principals have had maybe the summer to kind of plan and think about this and how they could do it and to get ready for fall. Is that what's been happening?
Yes. We've prepared 39 lessons in all different 39 grade level lessons. Okay. So for first grade, we have the first quarter already prepared and ready to go for teachers to utilize. And what's neat about it, Scott, is it's a very interactive. Our kindergarten lesson, literally on the computer, the student can tip. There's a picture of like a traditional like classroom, for example, and there's some books on a table. they can click on that book and it will automatically come up and it will be, they can read it or it can be read to them. So very interactive type activities. As you progress through the process, it becomes a little more academic, but we really worked hard to develop and design lessons that were engaging for students and would definitely keep them engaged for the lessons. And then everything that you that will need to be completed can be completed through the Google Classroom and submitted, like if they do an assignment. They can take a picture of it with their cell phone, download it, and put it, send it to their teacher. It doesn't have to be a paper-pencil scenario. So most of our families, about 75%, have phones. And so we're hoping that they'll utilize those tools as well to have two-way communication with the school and their teacher.
Right.
And so this whole, and we've done it all the way through 12th grade, even calculus, trigonometry, chemistry, there are lessons available.
And you mentioned, of course, bringing back the packet concept that you used, I think, very effectively in the spring in the last school year, and having those paper packets available for maybe families that don't have easy connectivity and things like that to be able to do all the work online for the students. And that's going to continue. And that's kind of the option then for those families that, because we know we have them in our communities that just don't have that connectivity as much as they would like to have it for their kids.
Yes, everything that is online or through the remote learning can be produced into paper. Mm-hmm. So all the lessons and activities will be prepped and ready, and definitely for pre-K through third grade, and they'll be stored at Farmers for them to pick up whenever. We'll have them there the Sunday before the week starts, and so they can come in and get their packets. We found that there was quite a dependency on those packets. So as we move forward, you know, if we have to make some adjustments and support them a little differently, if there's a problem with it, we will. We also have put 10 hotspots on 10 buses so that they can actually do their homework. Some of our kids ride the bus an hour and a half in and out every day. So
right.
On the bus 3 hours a day. So those buses will be... have hotspots available so that they can do the work during their bus ride. It might be a little bumpy, but you know, if you're on the computer, you can kind of manage it a little bit better. And then we're also trying to get with some community members and maybe some chapter houses to see, you know, what the connectivity is out on south of Bloomfield. But we have a lot of employees that work for us that also may be willing to have a hotspot in their area. A lot of the living situations or families, connected families that live in a area together. And if we can get a hotspot to that area, they can all utilize the hotspot. So we're kind of working it in different ways. We have IEC members that are part of our Indian Education Committee that are willing to have hotspots in their homes so that people can utilize them outside of their house. So just a lot of different ways that we're trying to help out. We're also pushing out internet connectivity on probably two or three schools. We already have it at the high school where you can go to the parking lot and you have internet. But we're looking at two other schools to see which one would be better. You really have to have kind of a large parking space for that to occur. And so we'll be doing that. We have additional 40 hotspots, so have a little wiggle room with getting those out to the right places so people have connectivity. So it's quite challenging, though. We have communicated with the Navajo Nation that is one of the biggest needs. We know at the local dorm, Orfano Dorm, they will be providing devices for their children, so that's very helpful. We have quite a few children that come to Bloomfield from there, so they'll have connectivity there. So everybody's working towards the same goals to help the students. So it's going okay. It's just, it's It's a process.
It is a process, and it sounds like it's something that I know a lot of folks have been working on. Your technology folks seems like they put in a lot of hours to get everything ready to go, to get all these new laptops ready to go, and then the capacity on your networks and things like that to be able to accommodate some of these things. You mentioned the hotspots on the school buses, and obviously those won't be used until you're doing face-to-face learning, I suppose, sometime after Labor Day then, right?
Right.
And I want to ask you, too, Dr. Mizell, about food service, because I know that is something that is a concern to a lot of school districts across the state. A lot of children maybe depend on those meals that they get at school. And again, you quickly turned around and turned some of your school buses into food delivery trucks to get food out to some of these families and all these families, quite frankly. And is that still the plan for the fall, or how is that going to change at all?
Well, we have funding through the end of August to continue busing food out to the families. After that, as you know, the legislative session cut our budgets. So our transportation budget was cut significantly. And so food delivery will be changing once we go into the brick and mortar scenario. We're planning on basically when the kids come on Monday, Tuesday, the kids that go home and ride the bus will get a sack of food that will last them through the next 3 days. So we'll send it home with the students on the returning days. So on Thursday, Friday, they'll get additional 3 meals on Friday to get them through until they come back to school. During this time, we have fed over the weekend, but we won't be able to continue that. So it's going to change, and it's due to constraints that are beyond our control a lot of times when it comes to budget cuts. So I'm in conversation right now with the State Department trying to figure out with the governor's statement of bringing kids in on a 5-to-1 ratio, 5 students to 1 teacher that were considered to be high risk or special ed students. The problem with that is during the month of August, we use every single bus to deliver the food. And so we don't have buses available to pick up children. And so right now I'm trying to figure out how we would accomplish that and have a conversation with the State Department. Do we continue the same feeding program for the whole month of August, which we can, or do we stop and the priority becomes busing those small groups of students in? A lot of times, you know, you just don't have bus drivers or staff or buses even to do some of everything they're asking us to do, which tends to be frustrating.
Understood. Right. I understand. And are you optimistic that perhaps there might be some federal monies that trickle down maybe through the state? They're talking, of course, in Washington about the next bill that maybe would help families across the country and businesses and things like that. Are there any dollars maybe for education for state governments to then pass down to local school districts? Is that something you're keeping an eye on too?
Yes, they're saying there will be funds available. However, I'm a little leery. We received $750,000 in CARES Act money, and that's how we purchased those computers and all the PPE and everything. And with the legislative session, they're taking back about $300,000 of that. So luckily, we hadn't spent it all yet, so we're just leaving it on hold to return it back to them. The state financial situation is very challenging, as I guess I want to say, and so I'm not real hopeful there because of what happened with the CARES Act money.
Understood. Understood. My guest this morning, Dr. Kim Mizell, is with me. She is the superintendent, of course, with the Bloomfield School District. We are speaking on KSJE this week with many of the local superintendents about their plans for school next month in August. School is still planning to start on time, but as mentioned by the governor last week, it will be an online model until at least Labor Day. And Dr. Mizell, you mentioned about being able to kind of quickly react, I guess, and I would imagine all school districts are thinking this way. If there is an outbreak of a virus, maybe in one of your schools or with one of your chapter houses or neighborhoods, to be able to quickly react to maybe shut things down, maybe site by site and not district wide. Is that some things that you're talking about?
Yes, there's going to be very specific protocols within each site. We're establishing a contact tracing team for every site and putting in measures for screening and monitoring students before they enter the building and employees. We bought devices that take your temperature, and we will take their temps before they get on the bus. So we're advising parents, if your child is running a has a fever, do not take them to the bus and leave them there without parent supervision, because we're probably not going to let them on the bus.
Right.
So we're trying to get communication out there. We have contingency plans for situations that parents have done that, but we really prefer that they don't do that, because they're going to immediately go into a room that is a quarantine room once they get to school, and they're going to have to come pick them up. So it's going to be pretty regimented, strict entrance into the schools, and try to control the situation the best we can.
Understood. And let me ask you a little bit about what this is all doing for kids and learning. I know you've been in education for a number of years, and I imagine, you know, kids are resilient. They are probably dealing with this maybe better than some of the adults are these days. But still, there's got to be some impacts that concern you and your teachers and your principals about how all this is maybe taking away from the mission, main mission of educating kids in Bloomfield.
Yes. Like I said, this is something that probably would be a controversial statement, but I'm actually more afraid of four generations of children being illiterate than I am of COVID-19.
Right, right.
I'm very concerned. We'll have, when you're talking kindergarten, first, second, and third grade children, that's four kids, four generations of students that have potential to be illiterate if we don't figure this out pretty fast and we don't get that parent support. It's very important that the parents establish an area for their child to do their work and establish a routine that's pretty consistent every day for them to do schoolwork. And you can take a few breaks in between, but it's going to be up to the parents' discipline of the children to accomplish what needs to happen for them to be successful in learning. And so we're putting some recommendations out on the website of what a typical day should look like for a child, and if parents will follow it and stay in a routine for their children, get them up at the same time they would get up to go to school, prime them for that reentry back in after Labor Day would be great, because these kids are going to have separation issues with their parents. They've been with their parents and their families since March, especially the little ones. And so we need to start getting them ready. So use this time to do that. Make sure that they're getting their breakfast, and then they sit down and do some schoolwork and get online with their teacher. Have a routine and a plan in place so that the learning can happen. Just very worried about it. A lot of our families have five children, and they're going to have them all online at the same time. I don't know if their internet can handle that. So some of the problems that can happen with the internet at home,
sure,
can be an issue. So,
right.
See.
A lot of concerns, I understand, but I guess parents can maybe be some role models in some of this and doing and following some of the things that you mentioned about trying to set that schedule every day and getting the kids up at the right time every day like they would if they had to catch the bus or get to school or those types of things. That structure is important, I guess, even in times like these.
It's crucial. It really is. I know that, you know, the stay-at-home situation, even myself, I'm not quite as productive at home as I am in the office. So sometimes I just, you know, I like routine. I'm a person that lives by that. You have to in education, live by your calendar. And I think it's good to condition the children to get ready for that, because the coming back is going to be a difficult process for them.
And for the older kids at Bloomfield Schools, Dr. Mizell, or anywhere for that matter, I know, again, your seniors who had all these plans, and we've already seen that with virtual graduations and some changes there, but what can parents, what can adults do to kind of help older students through this whole process as well, and seeing some of those traditional things they were planning on be a little bit different this year?
Well, I've struggled with this. My daughter's a senior this year. And so I made a determination myself that I'm going to do what I regularly would do for her to go to school. So we went ahead and did some school shopping, not a whole lot because it's not going to be in school just yet. But we went ahead and did some of the regular things that we do to get her excited about the year. We went and bought a few school supplies that she'll be utilizing during these lessons. So, and we're partnering with a Assembly of God Church in Bloomfield, who will be distributing school supplies for the next, 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks before we start school. They're going to plan a schedule where people can come pick up school supplies. We're providing some of them. A lot of them have been donated. But we've always done a back-to-school bash, so I want to encourage families to take advantage of that. They're going to do grade level or age group level distribution, so they'll do elementary and then high school and middle school, so they'll break it up so we can manage the crowd however it happens. So they're working with us. They're our partners in that, and it's all of the faith-based community that contributes to it. So it's a very nice event that happens in Bloomfield. So I just encourage them to do what you would typically do to get your kid ready for school. Maybe a new pair of tennis shoes, or, you know, just, it doesn't have to be huge, but something to make them feel like, okay, I'm ready to go to school now. So I've been doing that myself, and I think my daughter's getting ready to get online and start learning. So just little things like that, I think, will help with the mindset of what they need to do to go to school and do the work that has to be done. You know, the grading system will be a little different. Those packets may have to be, if they could take a picture of them on the phone and email, at least send them to their teacher through email, that would be great. So get a plan yourself of how you're going to manage everything.
That sounds like good advice, Dr. Mizell, and we are just about out of time. So as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, as plans continue to evolve and maybe change as things get going, I know Bloomfield has a communication system to communicate with parents, but I guess the reminder to make sure what cell phone numbers are up to date and ways to contact parents are up to date in that system, and that's really how you're communicating in addition to your website and Facebook pages and things like that.
Yes, we want to encourage all parents to register online. All the students will be rolled over from last year, but if registration, if you need a change of numbers and information, that's the place to do it. And you can go on our website under the parent platform under PowerSchool and confirm the registration or register their child. We have a helpline for that as well. So we really want them to do that. And one last thing, Scott, I'm changing up my perfect attendance program this year, and because I don't think we're gonna.
How's that gonna work? Yeah,
we're not gonna encourage them to come to school if they're not feeling well. That's for sure. So, this year I have two cars to give away. That if you have a GPA, a 3.5 or higher at the high school, your name will be put in a drawing to win the cars at the end of the school year.
How about that, everybody? That is still, again, another great thing for your students, and again, because of some great local companies I know that make this possible for you, right?
Yes, Zines Ford helps contribute those vehicles for us, and they've been a great partner, and I really appreciate their support.
So, very good. Well, I'm glad to see it continuing, albeit a little bit different, but hey, it's 2020. Everything's a little bit different, so I completely understand. So, wonderful. Dr. Kim Mizell, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, thank you, Scott.
All right, you're very welcome. That is Dr. Kim Mizell, Superintendent of Schools with the Bloomfield School District, my guest here on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is 8:40 a.m. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.